you're anything like me, you are always trying to learn something new, and that is why I love Rosetta Stone so much. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program. It's available on desktop or can be used as an app on your phone or tablet. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways. With its intuitive process, you can pick up any language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Blaise has been learning German with Rosetta Stone and is so cool to watch because as someone who speaks German, I get to see how he learns the different pronunciations, how excited he gets when he gets something right, and the phrases that he's learning we're going to be able to use next time we visit Germany and Austria. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, and that's why We Drink listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/drink. That's rosettastone.com/drink. We all love to treat ourselves every now and then, right? Like go out and buy a nice coffee, maybe get a little extra legroom on the plane. Then why are we always settling for doctors? Your health is the most important thing. That's where ZocDoc comes in. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. You know how I feel about making phone calls, and that is why I discovered ZocDoc many years ago before I even had a podcast. And so I'm thrilled. This feels very full circle. I use ZocDoc all the time in LA. I still use them here in Cincinnati. It's just such a cool service to be able to put in your insurance and find a doctor for whatever your ailment might be. I actually found an ENT doctor once when I had this sinus infection, probably TMI. But anyway, I love ZocDoc. I've loved it for years. And the typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours. That's how easy it is. Sometimes they even have same day appointments. I know I've gotten some in the past. Go to ZocDoc.com/drink and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/drink. ZocDoc.com/drink. We just tape the table.
We just put tape on the table.
Okay, well, we did that. Now what?
Now we say, welcome to the listener's episode.
Well, this is a listener episode. Did I do it right?
Yeah. Is this number 11?
Oh, God, I don't know. Is it?
Well, it's not 10.
Oh, well, then it's... Don't yell at me. I don't know. You ask me.
Wasn't the last one 10?
I think so.
All right. Well, 11, that's halfway to 22.
I knew you were going to say that.
Aw.
Getting there.
Getting there. Anyway, well, you know what happens this comes out?
What?
It's the first day of 2018.
Oh, Happy New Year!
Happy New Year, guys.
Oh, my gosh, can you believe it?
This is our first listener's episode of the new era.
It's like we're time traveling.
It's like we're time traveling.
In the plunger fort.
I mean, we are speaking. You're hearing our voices in 2018, but this didn't actually... The words didn't come out of our mouths in 2018.
Wah, wah, wee, wah.
It's like a very brief time capsule.
Yes.
Like we're saying something and it's like, hold off until 2018. And then you open this up a couple days later That's where you are.
It's like when stars really, like you don't see the light from stars for like 7 years.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, we're stars for sure.
You don't hear the voices of stars until 2018.
All right. So we've got some good ones.
What did you just throw?
Tape. Happy listeners episode. The first of 2018. Do you think we're going to get through all 12 months of 2018 doing listeners episodes, or do you think this podcast will crash and burn?
I do not think that, because as you know, I like to think positive because it gets you good places in life.
Okay.
Because if you think,
I'm going to ride your positive coattails.
You know how I feel about putting negative energy into the world. You should know because you're all about like staying away from Ouija boards, but apparently,
you know, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like we didn't just play with a Ouija board.
Guys, we played with a Ouija board.
Christine got me too. It was one of her Christmas presents. Let's just call it that.
Thank you. It was fine. Nothing bad happened.
Except we talked to several people.
Why is that bad? You talked to people with your EMF reader. Plenty of people told me that if I did it safely and positively and lit some candles and said good words and good intentions that it would be okay. And it was okay. And we closed it out and nothing bad happened. And we met a guy named
Walt McEel.
Yeah, that's not even a name, McEel.
It was almost like McNeil.
Yeah.
But McYeal with a Y.
His name was Walt, though.
And his mom was there.
Oh, yeah. We were like, who's there now? And they were like, it was spelled Ma.
We and like, then we were like, how did you die? And it spelled out lots of water.
Oh, I forgot about that.
That was fucking weird. And then he was...
I think he was making a joke because we're in a drought. No.
Oh, right.
Walt's a funny
and
man.
His family used to live on the land before Christine's house was here, which mm-hmm. means he was here before the 1920s. Mm-hmm. And his family made yolks for cows.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we then, were like, wait, what are yolks? And then I remembered from Oregon Trail, that's what they put on the...
And then he was born in 1917 and died in like 1946.
I'm glad you remember all this shit.
Look, I researched the shit out of that guy and I found nothing.
He's not real. He doesn't exist. I think it's all figment of our...
Also, he said that there was at least 4 to 5 ghosts here. Remember? Yep. We were like, how many people are in the room? And he said 4. And then we asked later and it said 5. And we were like, who's here now? And it's spelled M-A. And Ma. We were like, Ma?
Then we were like, oh no, Ma's here. Anyway, so that happened. Everyone's going to freak out. But
someone has an Ancestry account. Go look up Walt McYeal. Because I couldn't find shit on him.
Me neither. And the thing is, a lot of people said, don't play with Ouija board, blah, 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 blah. And then a lot of people who are very experienced in the spiritual world and have used a lot of different things like pendulums and that kind of thing said it's perfectly harmless if you use it safely. And I said, okay, I'm going to trust those people because I want to use it.
So he also said he liked Geo.
He did say that. I actually kind of freaked out that I even asked that because it would have been real bad if it said no. But
and then Christine would not let me ask if it liked us.
No, I don't want to know. Because if it doesn't like me, then I'm going to have a real problem.
Anyway, listeners episode, let's maybe read other people's stories.
Let's stop talking about Walt. Walt, you're so selfish.
Oh, let's hope he had a sense of humor.
He did, remember? He said lots of water.
Unless that's how he died.
I'm just insulting
someone go him. On Ancestry and find out for us.
First I said he's not real, then I said he's lying, then I said he's... Let's just move on.
Are you going to start? Or am I going
to
start?
No, I want you to start, because I don't remember this story.
Oh,
P.S., happy holidays. We decided that this was going to be a holiday-themed episode.
Oh.
Right?
Yes, we did.
So here we go. This is a holiday-themed episode, even though we're past Christmas and Hanukkah now.
As you're listening to this, you've already celebrated Happy New Year's.
That's fair. You're probably hungover.
So you're all either hungover or getting through the fact that we're done with the holidays.
Oof. Which is either a good or a bad thing.
I mean...
You got to go to work, but you're also, like, exhausted from...
Yep. Hopefully we're helping you.
I mean, we can probably rest assured that we're not helping anyone, but that doesn't matter. Here you go.
Okay,
I'm going to turn this around for you.
This is from Jamie.
Hi, Jamie.
And all it's titled is My Experience.
Original.
So Jamie says, she doesn't even say hi. Or he. I'm so sorry.
I think it's a girl.
Jamie doesn't even say hi.
I think it's a woman.
Jamie just says, okay.
That sounds like me.
Okay. Listen. Okay. So besides having...
Read it.
Okay. So besides having my first orgasm caused by someone else on the shining bed... Oh, it's Jamie!
Don't you remember?
What's up, girl?
Hey, girl!
Oh, what's up?
We remember you. If you don't know what we're talking about, go back to some episode.
Go back to one of our listeners' episodes, and Jamie once...
It wasn't a listener. It was like... Because we received it as a DM.
Oh, yeah. We read it during the episode.
After you did Stanley Hotel. So it's...
All right. So go through about 50 episodes.
Just listen to them one by one.
And when you hear the word orgasm, you found the right one.
I don't think we've ever said it...
Anywhere else.
Until now.
It's all Jamie's fault.
And then I made you say it.
Can you imagine, like, okay, you had an orgasm on the shining bed. Like, what else could possibly happen to you?
Just, like, bad, bad, scary things.
We'll read on.
Okay.
So besides having my first orgasm caused by someone else on the shining bed.
Oh, so her first orgasm caused by someone else.
That was not a ghost, hopefully.
Oh my God, no. And remember when a creepy little thing.
Oh, yes.
That's an
incubus.
OG inside joke if you don't get that.
My one really creepy story is pretty amazing because I was able to get confirmation from my grandmother. Weird to have orgasm and your grandmother in the same sentence.
Oh, man.
Jamie's a wild ride. She's a force to be reckoned with.
A tornado.
She says... I was born and raised in Sitka, Arkansas.
Mm.
A small...
Are you sure that's not Alaska? Isn't AK?
AR?
It says AR.
Oh, AK, fuck. I was born and raised in Sitka, Alaska, a small native village that encompassed not much space. I would say about 2 square acres of the actual town of Sitka.
Okay.
Here is where my grandparents' house was located in the old village. There were massacres and lots of unmarked graves here.
Oh.
Okay, my town too. Whatever. You're not like that big of a deal.
We get it, okay?
I moved into the house across the street from my grandparents, the house that I grew up in. And from the very first day, I was uneasy. Weird tricks were played. Our laundry was located down the basement. I would go down, start laundry, set an alarm, and when I got back, the washing machine door had been opened. Clothes were always super wet.
That would piss me off.
A few months after moving in, we were all upstairs sleeping. I was woken up by a huge noise like a gunshot. I woke my husband up and he said he heard nothing. Meanwhile, laundry was still being messed with, and the weirdest thing was how my baby's toys would move.
No.
I was sitting on the couch one day and one of my son's toys started playing while another just fell off the table.
Oh my God.
I got up, grabbed my son, and went to my grandparents. My brother came to stay with us with his kids during Christmas that year. While we were at my grandparents, he said he had to go grab something, so I asked him to make my son a bottle. He came back a few minutes later and didn't have a bottle. I asked him if he got one, and he said no. I thought you grabbed one.
Oh, God.
I heard you in the kitchen walking around and shutting doors, so I figured Asher had a meltdown and I came and grabbed one. Oh, that she came and grabbed one, which was not the case. Right then, after 6 months of people telling me I was crazy, my grandma turns to me and says, I feel bad. I didn't tell you this because I wanted you to live across the street from us.
Oh, no.
That's
no.
Always a great way to start something. My friend Bud owned that house. He was such a jokester, always playing tricks. No one ever thought, well, a few years after we moved here, they found his body in the upstairs bedroom, and he had shot himself with a shotgun. Needless to say, my brother and my husband both stopped saying I was crazy. I wish that was the end of my paranormal experience, but it's not. Also,
that's it?
She says, love you.
Oh, but it's not the end? And then she goes, okay, bye.
Oh, as in like that's like that's it for now. Oh. But also that's crazy because she said she first heard a gunshot.
That's creepy.
Yikes.
So it's like, oh, all these fun tricks. And then like, whoa, I hear a gunshot. And it like matches.
Gross. Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba. Well, tell Bud I say hi from afar.
Tell that girl or guy who gave you the orgasm hi.
Oh, yep. Send him a text. Say you've been mentioned twice. And thank you for his service.
Thank you for his or her service.
Oh, his or her service. What the fuck is wrong with me?
You are just so heteronormative today.
I don't know what's wrong.
Typical.
Typical.
All right. Let me have this. We have such an elaborate setup.
Oh. Did anyone else hear that?
No.
That's the sound of our success.
Okay. So this next story is from Katie.
Hi, Katie.
Hi, Katie. It says, hey, friends. So I've been meaning to write you this story since you first mentioned listener stories, but I was nervous because no one ever seems that impressed by my awesome fucking ghost story.
Woo!
I hope you dig it.
Let's see.
Here we go. I used to live in an old family home we rented on this Christmas tree farm. I was always super nervous going to the bathroom in the middle of the night. Most kids are, so that wouldn't be weird if the rest of the story hadn't happened. On my 11th birthday, my mom threw me a surprise. Okay, I think the only Christmas part of the story is that she grew up on a Christmas tree farm, but I thought that counted.
Well, I mean, that's not really what I meant by Christmas story, but whatever.
What did you mean?
Like that our stories.
That's why I said I don't, Lisa, I thought you meant listener stories. It's fun, don't worry about it. Oh my God. Okay. Well, no, I didn't do that at all.
Okay. I mean, how many Christmas murders are there? Not many.
Probably enough to do one episode.
Whoops. What?
We literally talked about this with you three times. You should have told me.
Yeah, I know. I didn't want to make you look like an idiot on the show. I'm sorry.
It's not working.
Okay.
Okay. So I guess when I was looking for Christmas stories, I just searched the word Christmas in our inbox, and they aren't necessarily Christmas-themed.
Christmas enough.
They just have the word Christmas in them, so she lived on a Christmas tree farm.
Yay!
That counts.
Christmassy enough.
Okay, so on my 11th birthday, my mom threw me a surprise party with five of my besties. We did the usual sleepover things, watched a movie, makeovers, etc. When cutting the cake, someone was like, you guys, we have to wait for... But then they realized everyone was there. This happened a few times. Uh-oh. Again, not that weird, there were six preteen girls running around. Now, when it was time to go to bed, I'm sitting with the rest of the girls in a circle, and I felt very strongly like one of my squad was missing, like I was sure someone was in the bathroom. So I go through all their names in my head. I was like, oh man, who is in the bathroom? I knew I must be forgetting a person. So I count us. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All there.
I still feel like someone is in the bathroom. Literally, I felt like a presence that had been with us all day was gone, and specifically in the bathroom.
Weird.
I look over at my best friend Carolyn, and she looks wigged out. I'm like, what's up? Knowing very well what's up. And she goes, I feel like one of us is missing. One girl, Natalie, is like, oh, she's in the bathroom. And I go, no, we're all here. Count. And Marissa goes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And we collectively scream and run into another room and watch Rugrats in Paris in the Lizzie McGuire movie.
Perfect.
We nicknamed the missing girl the girl who left us.
Aw.
That's creepy for 11-year-olds.
For sure.
I would have named her, like, Bingo Banga or something stupid.
Yeah, right. I'd have been fluffy. Like, I've been like, spooky bathroom girl.
Yeah, yeah. A couple of years later, I'm lying in my bed and I wake up because I feel a pressure on my stomach. When I open my eyes, there's a little girl sitting cross-legged in
what the fuck?
1950s type nightgown on my stomach.
No.
She smiles at me and I notice another figure sitting on the foot of my bed. He was a thin older man who picked up the little girl and walked out of my bedroom holding her. The sense of dread I had walking to the bathroom at night was gone after that.
What? That stopped the fear? That's supposed to induce the fear for the rest of your fucking life. Was he politely carrying her, or did he see, like...
Oh, I think it meant, like, he was, like, the dad or something, like, carrying her.
Oh, not, like, escorting her to hell.
No, I think it sounds like the man was just like, okay, come on, you know.
Ugh.
I don't know, but I think that's when she actually left us.
Huh.
Also, my mom told me like 2 months ago she was scared shitless of that bathroom too, 14 years after the incident. Thanks for keeping that to yourself, Karen. I'm bitter. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed it. I love the podcast. I told my friend Carolyn from the story about you guys last week. After nearly 20 years of friendship, we discovered that we're both weirdos who love ghosts and murder. All my fangirl love, Katie.
Aw.
That one just creeps me out because it's like a group of girls being like, no, somebody's...
It's creepy because none of them addressed it to each other. They just all felt it and then someone validated that they all felt that way.
And then she saw the girl.
That would be interesting that would be when she left them. Because like the little girl was like, I just want them to see me one time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want them to wonder where I am. I want them to see me. And then she was seen, and then the dad was like, all right, let's get the hell out of here.
Yeah, like, okay, finally, you got your chance. Let's move on.
I feel like if you waited that long to finally be seen, you wouldn't wait to be, like, crisscross applesauce on them sleeping.
I mean, I feel like a lot of the things...
Like, just watch TV with them or something.
I mean, she tried to be part of the sleepover, but I feel like no one was into that, so...
True.
Maybe that's why. Maybe she's like, I'll be more gentle in my approach.
Yeah, and so discreet and subtle and not creepy at all.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Katie.
Thank you, Katie. The next story is from Hillary.
Hi, Hillary.
And she says hello to us, but especially Baby G.
Hi, Baby G.
She says, I finally caught up on all the episodes. Yay! And wanted to share with you a few tidbits of my experience growing up in Utah. And as a now ex-Mormon with an interest in all things death, supernatural, and serial killers.
Oh, that's a great combo.
The anti-Mormon.
Yeah, literally.
When I was 8 years old, being the golden year of 1999, ooh, Y2K, I remember walking around Salt Lake City in the winter looking at different Christmas window decorations with my family. It was very cold, but festive and full of the holiday spirit. Outside of the displays was a homeless man, very long hair and beard, dressed in clothing that not only seemed inappropriate for the weather, but quite outdated. Think biblical robes and sandals, except in the 30 or less degree Utah weather and snow. So Jesus showed up. The man did not have a sign or a money box. He simply stood with his hand outstretched, palm flat. My dad passed this man every day going to work and went as far as attempting to give the man food, but receiving a gestured declination.
Hmm.
Fast forward about 3 years. My dad, older sister, and I were walking back to our car from a baseball game. My father, the usual cheapsteak. Ugh. Cheapskate.
Cheapsteak!
What I would love for a cheapsteak.
Better not be a cheapsteak.
The usual cheapskate. He parked several blocks away to avoid paying the $7 parking lot fee at the game.
You gotta be smart about that, though.
That's true. Charge
you like hell.
And back in 2002, there wasn't Uber.
Hell no.
You had to make your own choices.
Now Uber makes choices for you.
Now... Autonomy who?
As Autonomy we were... Uber. I'm done.
As we were both walking back, we passed a man and a woman in odd, very plain, but old-style clothing. After doing a double take, my dad made a passing comment of, oh, remember him a few Christmases ago, girls?
Oh.
Looks like he's found himself a wife. Sure enough, it was the same silent beggar, only this time more animated and with a female counterpart. Less than 2 weeks later, Elizabeth Smart was taken from her home. Jesus.
No. Far from the anti-Jesus, if you will.
Upon her rescue and return and publicizing of her kidnapper's identities, my father returned home from work and sat my siblings and I down. He explained what had happened, then turned my sister and I and told us that we had seen and knew of the culprits. That night of the baseball game, my sister and I had begged to run ahead to the car, knowing the way and not needing someone to watch us. And after several attempts of begging, received a firm no and walked past the couple with an adult in tow. To this day, this makes my heart nervous. Having passed this man on the street within weeks of their heinous crimes and being able to identify them has been upsetting over the years, to say the least. Sorry this has gotten so drawn out, but I think about this from time to time, and it always gives me goosebumps knowing how close I was to Brian David Mitchell in the weeks and years before Elizabeth's kidnap. Love the show. Even M's wonderful laugh. Thank you. Keep on keeping on, and can't wait to hear what else you come up with. From Hillary.
Oh my god.
Wow, that took a sharp, dark turn.
Whoa.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Happy holidays. This is what happens when, and that's why you drink tries to make a holiday special.
Yep.
It just makes everyone feel really bad.
Hard to make a morbid topic so cheery.
That's true.
So let's just throw Elizabeth Smart into the mix and see what happens.
That's true. That's like when we tried to make like a Geo birthday episode about dogs and we were like, everything's about death.
Nah.
Nobody wants to hear about dogs dying. Okay. Here we go. Oh, okay. This is from Lauren.
Lauren.
It says, the subject is, oh boy, whatever you do, don't look in the mirror.
Okay. Duly noted.
All right. Whatever you say, Lauren. You're the boss.
I trust you.
Hi, I recently discovered your podcast, and it gets me through the workday. Thanks for being amazing.
Wow.
End parentheses.
You're welcome.
I will start out by saying that I've broken into numerous buildings. Wait, what?
Okay, same.
Let me settle in here. I will start out by saying that I've broken into numerous buildings of the abandoned Belchertown School for the Feeble-Minded. I'm sorry.
For the feeble-minded.
That's sad.
Yep.
And felt more safe there than I did in my childhood home.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. Walking through old surgical rooms and feeling a demonic presence in the administration building's attic as a 21-year-old was a walk in the park after growing up in an old Boston-area home.
Fuck.
The first 14 years of my life were spent in a New England home built in 1925. For as long as I can remember, my brother and I always had a difficult time going to the second floor of the house alone, even when we were 14 and 15 years old.
Creepy.
We often would bring the other with us, even if we were only grabbing something from one of our rooms to return to the first floor. Our fears were manageable until my father decided to completely renovate the upstairs.
Oh, shit. That always gets him going.
Dun, dun, dun. The first event I can remember was on a cold winter's night when my family was decorating the house for Christmas. There was a musical angel doll that my mother had placed in my room. When you pressed a button, she would fold her hands in prayer and sing Silent Night.
Oh, my.
That's the stuff of nightmares. That's like a Furby and a Teddy Ruxpin and a...
And a demon all in one.
And a demon and an angel all combined.
Yay!
I hated this angel.
Amen.
And would often turn her to face the wall. As we were decorating downstairs, we lost power from a storm. While trying to find candles and flashlights, I heard a faint singing coming from upstairs. I recognized it as a woman's voice singing Silent Night and assumed my mother was singing to calm herself. I quickly realized that my mom was still with me downstairs and that the singing was coming from my room.
Oh, shit.
I told my mom that the doll didn't have batteries in it, and she went upstairs with me to check. The angel was singing Silent Night, but it sounded more mature. The singing stopped once we reached the second floor, and we discovered the doll facing the doorway with no batteries in it. My mom claimed that it was just a malfunction, but the next day when I put batteries in it to check, the voice was that of a little girl, not an older woman.
No!
Isn't that horrifying? I hid the angel in my closet soon after.
You didn't burn it?
I like how I'm like, I would have...
I just moved it over.
I would have chucked that thing.
I would have shattered that thing with a hammer.
Can you imagine if it started singing in the night, like in your closet?
In different voices? Mm. Goodbye! Mm-mm. I would have soaked the carpets in holy water.
Listen, my Furby did that and I threw it in the fucking out a window.
I think we all did that.
I hit a cyclist in Germany with my Furby once.
I don't think there's one Furby that wasn't a demon.
Mm.
I think we were all like, oh, let's all like universally understand that they're haunted.
That Satan created these instead of Santa.
Yes.
Like the letters.
Have you seen a Furby without the fur? That's a fucking trip.
I would rather kill myself.
It looks like a weird robotic.
I've seen Furbies in the microwave.
A what?
Furbies in the microwave.
No.
Ooh, they like melt.
Does it melt down and then
it keeps talking and going, I love you, and then it's like melting.
It doesn't say I love you, it goes nee boo ba dee na ba, and like
so, that's beautiful. Em.
That's no, the sound goes, of a fucking Furby.
It goes, me love you. Believe me, I had
oh, it did say that
several.
I had two and they would talk to each other.
No.
That was the worst mistake I ever made.
I wanted one so badly and then I got it and it scared me so bad, which is so weird because like
my dad, who doesn't believe in that stuff, put it in the we had a fridge out in the garage. He put it in the fridge in the garage and then duct taped it shut. Like, Furbies are fucking creepy.
I hope in the like apocalypse when aliens come, they're like, oh wow, and they open like a duct tape freezer and there's just a Furby.
I'm pretty sure the Nickelodeon, you should ask since you work there now, but they had a time capsule that they like, they're not supposed to open for another like 10 years or something, but a Furby was definitely put
Christ,
in there. And
gonna,
slime was put in there.
You know it's under the ground talking. Me love you.
Every now and then at night, you can just hear an echo of me love you
or,
from the sewers.
Or me hungry.
For blood.
For human flesh. Okay. Anyway, Furbies are fucking terrifying. I threw mine out a window in Germany. Like, I had the crank window. And it scared me so bad. In my head, I watched too much TV and I was like, it's going to explode. Like, I just
oh, right, yeah.
assumed, like, the car was going to explode because it started, like, its eyes were twitching and it was, like, shaking. So I threw it out the window, but then it was it, like, hit the cyclist who was, because there's so many bikers in Germany. And he stopped and picked it up. And my mom's in the bank, by the way, so we're parked on the sidewalk. And he walks up and he goes, is this yours? And I just started screaming and I like rolled the window back up and my mom came out and was like, what the hell?
He just happily like wasn't even mad that you threw a Furby at him.
He thought that I just like accidentally dropped my toy.
I would have been like, you fucking kid, throwing
especially in
your
Germany,
robot machine at me.
You'd think a German man on his bicycle would not be happy.
You know, somewhere in the world, there's some German cyclist who has a demon story of how a flying Furby hit him on the highway.
He's like, you see the scar?
We don't talk about
it
that day.
It wasn't a highway. It was on a street. We were parked. It wasn't like I just hurled it and it knocked him out. It was just like a chuck it.
Oh.
I don't know. Never mind. It scared the shit out of me. And then he like put it back and my mom goes, thank you so much for finding this, and brought it back in the car and goes,
it's like that episode of Goosebumps and the Night of the Living Dummy when they're like, they try to throw away the dummy and then the neighbors are like, oh, you left this outside, and then that's when hell begins.
Dun dun dun. Yeah, and my mom goes, I paid good money for this, don't you dare throw it out the fucking window. And I was like, fine. Anyway, point being, let's go back to this.
Yeah.
Sleeping at night was nearly impossible. At the time, I had a lofted bunk bed. Each time I slept on the top of the bunk bed, I could feel what felt like my cat curled up next to me. Since it was impossible for my cat to get under the top bunk, I woke up in fear to discover there was nothing there. Each time this happened, it felt like something was staring at me from inside my closet. Yeah, it's probably for the fucking angel.
Yep.
Just a few feet from the bed. From then on, my closet was unexplainably cold. And despite my family's attempts to keep my room warm, a chill would always come in from the closet. At the time of all this, I was close with a friend whose mother was very religious. Every time I'd go to her house with friends, her mother would proceed to spend the next few days doing a spiritual cleanse of their entire home.
Because she just brought that shit into their house.
Claiming that someone had brought along demons with them.
She wasn't wrong.
She wasn't wrong. After a few months of this, she pulled me aside and gave me a bottle of holy water with instructions to place this in my closet. She had no prior knowledge that I was the one bringing bad energy because we always hung out in groups, and no knowledge that the closet was where most of my fears seemed to manifest. Despite not being religious, I was freaked out that she knew and placed the holy water in my closet. Every morning when I woke up, the holy water would be knocked on the ground in the main room and was no longer in the closet. No.
I like how you think from, like, movies that obviously that thing would, like, you would hear a scream and then something would be vanquished. But I like how it's some, like, diva ghost who, like,
petty-ass ghost
places it in the car. But is like, nah, I don't
it
want
just,
it
like,
in my space.
Flicks it out of the closet.
Just flicks it over. It's like, I don't think so.
It's that stupid angel being like, mm-mm.
It's like, oh, try again.
Around the same time this was happening, my brother was incapable of sleeping and was suddenly paranoid of everything.
My brother and I were so disturbed by what had been going on that our middle school hired counselors to try and figure out what was bothering us.
Fuck.
Our parents figured it was silly childhood fears. It wasn't until years later that I found out my brother had been having experiences of his own. The worst of it was the mirrors.
Oh, shit.
After the renovations were completed, we had an entirely new bathroom on the second floor. To get to the bathroom, just a few feet away from either of our bedrooms, we would sprint to avoid spending too much time in the hallway. But if we could, we avoided leaving our rooms at night at all. At night, my brother and I would refuse to turn the lights on in the bathroom. It was only years later, after we had moved, that we both admitted why. We could not face ourselves in the mirrors at night. My brother admitted to me that the one time he had, it wasn't himself looking back, but something much darker. To this day, he refuses to describe what he saw. The figure had stared directly back at him, and he says that he has felt something dark deep within him that has never left him.
Oh, shit.
It's been almost 10 years since we left that house, and what he saw still haunts him to this day. The one time that I looked into the mirror by the dim light of a nightlight, I found myself staring directly into my eyes as if I was staring at someone else. I felt confused and angry, but calm. As I finally broke my gaze, I looked over at the clock to see how long I would have left to sleep, only to realize that over 2 hours had passed.
Oh my god!
The gaze I met in the mirror seemed to be a terrifyingly dark version of myself, and I wonder if this is what my brother also saw.
I wonder if that's like the beginning of possession.
But I've heard that a lot. I've definitely heard that story where people say they can't explain it, but they look in the mirror and it's
a darker version of themselves.
Yeah, it's mirroring them, but it's like not them, and it's a much more like demonic version.
Fuck, I hope that never happens.
No, that's terrifying.
Oh my god.
When I was old enough to go to high school, we sold the house and moved to New Hampshire. My brother and I thought that would be the end of it, but we soon discovered shortly after moving in that some very questionable things had occurred in the house we had just moved to. The day we moved in, we discovered scratchings on the door frames inside closets from people clearly trying to escape being locked inside.
What the fuck?
But those are stories for another time. And whatever it was in the mirrors, it followed.
Oh, shit.
That's the end of the email.
What the fuck? Oh my god.
Oh my god. That story creeped me out so much that when I first read it, I googled like some snippets of it to be like, this isn't like...
It sounds fake.
Because we've gotten stories from people like copy and paste from like No Sleep or Creepypasta, mm-hmm. and I'm like, these are clearly fake. And I didn't think this was fake, but I was like, have I read... Like, this is just like bananas.
Too crazy.
But like, it's definitely her story.
Shit.
Thank you, Lauren. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, thank you.
That's horrifying.
Sorry. I don't know how to close out of that.
No, that's rough.
Give me another story.
All right, here.
This is from Kelly.
Hi, Kelly.
Kelly says, when my mother was very young, she was very close to her grandfather. His name was John, and he would always say to her, who's John's baby? And in mom's little kid brain, she started calling him John Baby. That's precious.
That's so fucking cute.
The name stuck, and we all have known him as John Baby.
Aww.
He passed away when my mom was about 10 or so. Fast forward a few years, when my mom was 18, I was born on his birthday.
Wow.
From the time he died, mom would have these dreams where she'd relive simple things she'd done during the day, but he would be there. He'd be there helping her hang lights on the Christmas tree, catch her from tripping, etc., like a guardian angel.
Wait, helping her hang lights on the Christmas tree?
We just do simple things.
My guardian angel doesn't do that.
Your guardian angel pours you wine.
I wish.
My mom had me and my sister by the time she was 21, and she always felt like he was a support system when she felt super alone and stressed out as a young mom. Hmm. Every member of my family saw the shadows moving. What? Oh, we're just jumping into this shit.
Support system, shadows moving.
Every member of my family saw the shadows moving, heard the footsteps, and felt the presence that existed in my great-grandmother's house when John Baby died. Where John Baby died. None of us ever felt afraid. We all knew it was him just watching out for us and waiting on my great-grandmother to pass to be with him.
Aww. Oh, my God.
When I was... imagine being alive, being like, oh, he's just waiting for me.
I feel like, eh.
Hang on a couple more years.
Listen, I'm eating a lot of veggies these days, so it might be a few more years.
Get comfy. We might be here for a while. When I was a sophomore in high school, she got very sick. She was getting older, had smoked since she was 8 years old. Damn, she sounds like she's lived a life. And generally had a long life that led it to some health issues.
Mm.
It was Christmas Eve, the last time I saw her. She held on long enough to see all the grandkids for the holidays. After that Christmas, she didn't pass for a few days, but she didn't speak or move much again. However, the day she died, she opened her eyes, smiled the biggest we'd seen in weeks, and she said, John, when did you get here? And then talked to him for a while. They talked about old memories and what all she had done since he passed. It sounded like two old friends who hadn't seen each other in too long. After that, she just closed her eyes and passed peacefully. There were no more shadows or footsteps in her house, and we could all feel how empty it was. John Baby had finally passed over when she did. It made my grief so much easier to know that she didn't pass alone and knowing that they were finally resting together. I drink probably too much wine writing this email, so I'm team wine by default. Love you both in this amazing podcast that combines all my joys in life. You crying?
Mm-hmm.
That was a really good one.
Oh, that makes me so happy and sad at the same time.
Thank you, Kelly. That was very nice.
Thank you, Kelly. I'm so happy you're... That's so sweet that he waited for her.
I feel like all of us wish that we... That when our, like, loved ones passed away, we had, like, true proof that they were going to be fine.
Yeah, that has to, like, what I mean?
That, like, has to make things so much easier knowing that it was time and...
Yeah, but I think that's why we are, like, drawn to these stories, because it's like, oh, so maybe there is, like,
something a chance there, of that.
You know what I mean? Like, even if we don't sense it ourselves, like, the fact that other people experience it is comforting.
All right.
Oh, gosh. Darn
one
it.
One last one.
Listener stories always get me, man.
One last one. Make it a doozy.
Well, you know it's going to be a doozy when our friend Eric Skull is involved.
Oh, we love Eric Skull.
Hi, Eric Skull.
He has a podcast, much like us.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh. Twinny.
What are the odds?
And it's called Mugglecast, so all the Harry Potter fans out there, go ahead and check him out, although I'm sure you already do. There's a very large chance you're already listening to it, but if not, go check it out.
You probably are, but if not, go check it out. It's legit. It's
I feel
awesome.
Like all the true diehard fans are like, don't tell me to listen to the show I've been listening to since the beginning.
They're like, way to get on board, finally.
Anyway, go listen to him. And he's such a good guy. He's super sweet.
He's been super supportive of us since, like, way in the
literally
beginning.
Since, I think, day one.
Since we've
at least week one.
Since we were like, Eric, don't support us. We don't know what we're doing. And he's like, no, no, I support you. And we're like, you're crazy, but okay.
Good guy.
Such a good guy. So Eric sent in a story.
Oh. Okay.
Well, I'm just saying.
No.
That's why we're talking about him. He sent in a story, and the subject is my listener story, December/New Year's themed.
He was very eager for us to tell this one, I think.
It's like he knew we were doing a holiday.
It's like he could sense that, like, a January 1st was coming up in our future. Like,
but how could he know that almost, you know?
There's no, like, thing that lists out all of the days of a year.
No, it's like he had ESPN or something. Like,
it was a fucking magic trick
from Harry Potter. Pretty fucking... Maybe he's not a muggle.
Oh, that's it.
Hey, Em and Christine. Happy holidays. I hope that both of you are well.
We're fine.
Thank you, Eric. We're very well. I hope you are well as well. I've been listening since the early days of your podcast. Listen,
We know.
But I'm finally getting around to submitting my own listener story, in which I also ask questions of you too.
Yay, such a good boy.
I hope that's cool. If not, feel free not to include this. Last year, 2016, while visiting my hometown of Reading, Pennsylvania for Christmas and New Year's, my mother got us tickets to visit historic Brinton Lodge, a haunted house nearby Douglasville, Pennsylvania.
Love it.
The website lists it as one of the top 10 haunted houses in Pennsylvania.
Hmm.
Which I love, because when my mom visited, she was like, don't tell Tim, but can we do something haunted? And I'm like, that's so cute. And so we went to the Queen Mary. But, like, my parents would never think to, like, do something paranormal for, like, a mother-daughter activity. You know what I mean? I feel like it's not the first thing they think of. Growing up, my mom always loved the paranormal stories. We used to watch Unsolved Mysteries as a family on television. Dope. Loving the ghost and paranormal episodes in particular. My mom herself is a devout Catholic who stocked many books on sightings of guardian angels and the like. She's had a few dreams from time to time in which deceased family members have contacted her. And it was from her that I borrowed psychic Echo Bodine's book, Relax, It's Only a Ghost, My Adventures with Spirits, Hauntings, and Things.
We both know when I write a book, it's going to be that fucking long.
My adventures with
at least 50 different items, which I will name out alphabetically, not chronologically, but then chronologically, not alphabetically.
And then the last word will be things, because I can't remember the rest. Spirits, hauntings, and things. Oh my God. That's amazing. Which kept me up at night for weeks. First question. All right. Does M know about Echo Bodine?
No.
Okay. She is a psychic who appears to have... highly commercialized herself.
A quick Amazon search turned up 4 pages of results.
Oh, Lord.
Nevertheless, knowing nothing about psychics and the actual investigation of paranormal activity before reading it, her book gave me chills. All right. Noted.
Noted.
And that's why you drink book club, which, by the way, exists. Goodreads.com. Go check it out.
I'm particularly interested in the chapter about things. Let's discuss.
Oh, boy. They just did Devil in the White City, the book club.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the H.H. Holmes book,
mm-hmm.
which I'm planning on reading over Christmas break. And now I want you guys, I'm just running it. I'm like,
well, I like how a lot of people have been emailing us asking and saying that you would probably love that book.
This, the Devil in the White City?
Yeah.
I just bought it at Lost Bookstore.
Well, a lot of people are excited now
because hey.
A lot of people wrote in asking if you've read it.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, it's because there's a movie coming out about it too, which mm-hmm. has gotten a lot of attention. But yeah, so the new book club, someone made a book club, which is so fucking cool because I never know what books to read about, like paranormal,
true crime, and shit like that. Yeah.
So the first one is the H.H. Holmes book. And then the next one, I don't know what it is, but I'm already deciding it's something about things with
just things.
Things. What's her name again?
Echo Bodine.
All right. Sure. Things with Echo Bodine. Okay. just kidding, guys. You can do whatever you want. I'm not going to boss you around. Okay. Beep boop bop, where are we?
Anyway, haven't even gotten to the story yet.
Last New Year's Eve, my mom and I, to spend some quality time, decided to visit historic Britain Lodge. The lodge is currently host to a very small brewery, in all capital letters, which I think makes it perfect to talk about on this podcast. That's true. The Hidden River Brewing Company operates out of a small room in the back of a large structure, and there are 2 bars on the premises. The event that my mom and I got tickets to was a combination ghost tour and midnight champagne tasting.
Okay, so how do we get to Reading, Pennsylvania is the real question.
Eric,
set it up.
Can I come now? Like now, right
now. Osseo, plane ticket.
OM.
Did it.
Dad jokes. Okay. It was a combination ghost tour and midnight champagne tasting. Billed, quite funnily, Toast with a Ghost.
Shut the fuck up. How did we not name this show that?
Oh, fuck. You're right.
That was our bad.
Well, that's our bad. But apparently they thought of it first.
# spinoff!
I mean, maybe we can, like, if we partnered with
a brewery, we should make that a special.
Sure. If they sponsor us and give us beer, I'll be happy.
Love it.
Or champagne. Toast with a Ghost. Some brief history. Built in the early 1700s, a small farmhouse erected by the Millard family was expanded in the late 1790s to become Kirkland Homestead. It's said that the site was one on which ammunition was produced for the War of 1812.
Uh-oh.
Jesus. And due to its proximity to the... Oh, no. How do you say this word? Skykill?
Is it German and you're asking
me?
No,
it's just a long fucking word. Skilkill? Skilkill.
Skukill.
God damn it.
Shukill? Shuckle? I don't know.
Shuckle? Maybe.
The river.
Oh, Schuylkill. 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 It's Dutch.
Cool.
All right, whatever. Okay. Schuylkill. And due to its proximity to the Schuylkill River Canal, the site is said to have been a stop on the Underground Railroad.
Oh, my.
That's cool. 100 years later, the Whitman family turned it into a 28-room mansion. Sounds like one of your stories.
Sounds like my future.
A local... Definitely.
I see it.
A local famous hotelier. Fuck. Eric, are you doing
How did you get Dutch and fucking French and all these things?
How does he... Why is he so well-versed?
He knows well enough that if he's going to do a word we don't pronounce, we do German.
That's the only thing we know. Here, wait, I'll play it. Hold on. Why is it
Hoteliers.
Not?
Montpelier's.
Hoteliers.
Like you said Montpelier's.
It sounded like an M.
The word is...
I know, but it sounded like an M. I was going to listen to him. Hoteliers.
Okay, fine.
Does it mean hotel? Can we just fucking say hotel?
No, it means the person who, like, runs a hotel.
Oh. Like why don't you just say the person who runs the hotel?
Well, because that's a word I feel like I read a lot, and then in my head, just, like, half-hazardly, I just say it in my head a certain way, and that's hotelier, and then I feel like an asshole.
Hoteller.
Hoteller. Well, it's like foyer and foyer. I never know which one's right, and then I get really stressed.
Vase or vase.
Exactly.
Target or Target.
Aunt or aunt. It's always Target. Okay.
When you're buying a vase, at least.
Oh, only when you're buying a vase.
When you're buying a vase, it's Target.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
A local famous hotelier. is that right? Whatever. A local famous guy who ran a hotel, Caleb Brinton, turned the mansion into a... His name was Caleb. There's no hotelier named Caleb.
Why couldn't we just say Caleb?
Turned the mansion into a gentleman's club during Prohibition. There are five main spirits that are said to haunt Brinton Lodge. Caleb Brinton, who ran the brothel... Wait, there's a brothel? Oh, gentleman's club.
Yes.
Sure. Who ran the brothel resides mainly in his quarters, which I have to say during the ghost tour, this is probably where I experienced the most prickly feeling of a spiritual presence.
Ooh.
I had the opportunity to stay in the room for a few minutes after the tour had moved on, and can't quite explain how I felt. What?
Like it was super creepy.
Oh, I thought because it was like a brothel or something.
No. Oh. And Eric was very aroused.
I was like, oh my, Eric. There is an unknown dark apparition which also roams around, and it is probably this and not Mr. Brinton that I may have experienced. Oh, okay, so no arousal. Okay.
Yeah.
A lady in white casually descends the rear grand staircase where Mr. Brinton, when the hotel was a brothel, would showcase the women who were sex workers off to his carefully chosen clients. Yikes. Speaking of clients, one nicknamed Dapper Dan is still stalking the Brinton house.
Do you own a past life?
No, my baby boy.
Dapper baby Dan.
He was notorious for being over affectionate. Okay, maybe.
Okay.
And probably really skeezy. Okay. To the women at the time. And nowadays, this ghost tends to go for unsuspecting female visitors who happen to cross his path.
Ooh.
Back from the time when the Millard family first owned it, through to present day, a great number of family members passed away within the walls of Brinton Lodge. During the tour, from what I recall, this was mostly billed as a common occurrence due to various health issues, which were diphtheria?
Oregon Trail.
I googled that last time, and it's definitely not a virus, it's a bacteria, and then I felt really stupid.
Well, I didn't even know, so.
Oregon Trail. As a common, blah, 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 which were more common in the 1700s and 1800s. I cannot recall any sinister hangings or murders that took place on the property.
Oh, well, good. Good, good, good.
Good. Just a few more things here worth noting. There's a bedroom in this mansion which is loaded with creepy old porcelain dolls. Floor to ceiling, basically, on every shelf, by the bedside table, on a hope chest, everywhere.
Yeesh.
This was the first official ghost tour I've ever gone on, and while this room was creepy, I was absolutely devastated to find out that the room was not decorated in an original way. Rather, a local television network was doing a story on Brinton Lodge, and for that story, there was some kind of reenactment of one of the children's lives, and these dolls were procured from local secondhand stores to be in the background of shots and make the television show more scary.
There goes the film industry, ruin things for you.
Always ruining shit.
It's true.
You know how many PAs had to go to Goodwill and buy those creepy ass dolls
for no money, by the way,
and probably got haunted. Thus, these dolls, while hell they may be haunted, are not in fact original, indigenous to any of the residents of Brinton Lodge, past or present. Yet this room is still exactly as it was when the television people left years ago, and it's made a part of the tour. I found this to be a bit disingenuous for the haunted house to include on the tour because it plays upon the very modern fear of dolls and haunted children's items. And I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on that / other experiences where haunted houses, especially for the ghost tours, kind of drum up the hauntedness of any one particular area in a cheesy way. I think that for sure happens.
Oh, yeah. 1,000%.
I'm trying to think of an example. I mean, even when I went to the Queen Mary in July, they still had it might have been earlier, like April and May, but they still had all of their Halloween stuff up. And we were like, what? And they're like, oh, it's just from the Halloween tour. And we were like, that was in October. It's April.
It's like, at this point, you might as well just keep it up.
Yeah. They like had all the spider webs and like creepy dolls. And it made it creepier because it looked like a fucking haunted house. But they were like, oh, we just haven't taken it down. And I'm like, tours every day. So I don't know if that's the same thing, but that was weird.
I would say Alcatraz is like that too.
Oh, really?
I mean, like in the creepier areas, they intentionally keep it really, really dark.
Sure. They probably keep it like chilly too.
Yeah.
Do they?
Oh, yeah.
I just made that up. I don't know.
No, I'm guarantee you they do. It's an abandoned jail surrounded by water in San Francisco. So,
hey, if you guys haven't listened to the Case File episode on Alcatraz, I listened to it last week. Amazing. About the escapes from Alcatraz. You should listen to it. Wow. Just saying. Okay. Another part of the story is that there was a very devastating hurricane which swept through the area in Pennsylvania a couple of decades ago, and not only the first floor of the lodge, but the second, were submerged in rain and stormwater. This means that, unfortunately, a lot of antique furniture, which may have been more original, was damaged or destroyed and eventually replaced. There's still furniture there, of course, which is as best of a recreation as they can do, but I found that to be a little unfortunate. Though I did not see a ghost on my tour, I certainly felt that I was among the presence of at least one, particularly in the quarters of Caleb Brinton, which I mentioned a little bit ago. Additionally, ghostly women are casually spotted lining up on the staircase, and looking at that staircase gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Yeesh.
Overall, it was a really cool experience, and I could sort of appreciate the hokiness with attending a toast with a ghost event and ending the night in the brewery side of the building with a small glass of champagne in hand. Oh, but there's two more things. All capital letters. I recorded the ghost tour portion using a voice memo on my phone. This may break etiquette with what you're supposed to do on ghost tours, but I knew I would want to remember specific details about each of the rooms we went in and each of their ghostly inhabitants. That said, I realized almost immediately upon recording that I may have inadvertently created an opportunity for spirits to communicate. Like, did I just accidentally make a spirit box thingy or a series of EVPs? I have never not once listened either on my phone or my computer's audio equipment or tried enhancing the quieter parts of my audio for fear of actually hearing something. What should I do?
Listen to it.
Should I listen or should I just delete the thing?
Listen to it.
I don't feel good about having it on my phone, even after almost a year. I made sure we tipped our tour guide, but it still doesn't feel quite right. I'm really asking for your advice, but I think it's kind of cool that I might have gotten an EVP? 5?
Listen to it.
Listen to it, please. Okay, I've saved sort of my favorite part of this place for last. During the tour, our guide made a particular mention of something I've never once heard about in actual accounts of ghost stories, both on this podcast or anywhere else. He said that during the original time when the lodge was first a farmhouse and was built, the area surrounding it was inhabited by spiritualists, people who I guess were normal type city folk who happened to have a side passion for trying to invoke evil, right? Those sorts of people. I don't think they were Wiccans, which is something totally different, but they might have been, and I might be totally misremembering. The weirdest thing that the tour guide said was that these original neighbors from Brinton Lodge are still some of the neighbors that Brinton Lodge has today. Like, of course, those people died in the 1800s and things, but basically the way he described it was that the current neighbors really highly resemble in personality and tone the original inhabitants.
Yes.
As if they are not possessed per se, but reincarnate perhaps, still the same locals. So this geographic area deep in the woods in Pennsylvania may be stuck in some sort of crazy spiritual time loop. So if 300 years ago there was a crazy cat lady in this one house, you go there now, and there's a completely different crazy cat lady, you know? I had never heard of anything like that sort of phenomenon. Wondering if you two have.
Nope.
Definitely not.
But ew.
But wow. Anyway. Someone should write a book about that.
Oh, okay, we will.
Let's do it. That's fascinating. I've never heard about that.
I've never heard that either, but that sounds like something straight out of a movie.
It sounds like a Stephen King novel.
Yeah.
All in all, it was a lovely way to spend last New Year's Eve and bond with my mom. Sorry for the length of my story. I hope it makes it. Love the podcast. Thank you for all that you two do. Love to Gio. Sincerely, Eric.
Thanks, Eric.
Thanks, Eric. Listen to that EVP.
Yeah.
Do as we tell you. All right, guys. That's it for our listener story number 11. Normally here we would put all 600 of your names in. But we have two more episodes to record tonight. And so... Instead, we thought we would spend our time doing something more valuable for you guys. So we are going to continue to do the names in future episodes. But I think this month, instead of names, we're going to release a special blooper reel or two or three. I haven't decided yet on Patreon for you guys. And that should hopefully make up for the lack of saying all of your names this month.
Yes. I think that's fine.
Okay.
I think they probably want to hear a blooper reel more than their own name.
Like really fast, yeah, because we did have like 8,000 Sarahs last time.
We had at least 8,000,
and I don't know if anyone actually listens to that. Maybe you do,
maybe you don't,
maybe you don't. I don't know, but we thought like tonight we can focus on making you guys something more creative and interesting. But we love all of you guys who have supported us on Patreon, and you should have gotten something special in the mail by now. If not, check your mailbox. And that's all we have for you today.
And that's why we drink.
And that's why we drink.
Travel is great, but planning for travel can be time-consuming and difficult. That's where One Travel comes in. With One Travel, you'll find everything you need to book the perfect trip. Flights, hotels, cars, transportation, it's all right there. With One Travel, you can book online, via app, or even pick up the phone and talk to a travel advisor ready to help you make your selections. Visit onetravel.com/music or call 855-437-2154. Plan it, book it, live it. One Travel.